Today we're going to be talking about without God's love. What is your life going to amount to if you're not walking daily in God's love? So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, and that word for love there is agape love. It's a very special kind of love. It's God's love. We're going to talk a lot about that today. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. And this is describing God's love. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put those ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then shall I know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Father, as we look into your word today and we see how important knowing your love and walking in your love is. Father, help us to strive to make that our primary goal in life, to know the love of God and to walk in the love of God. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On Valentine's Day, everybody's talking about love, but it's not the kind of love normally that would be described as God's love. It's a romantic love, eros in the Greek, and there's nothing wrong with eros love. It's a wonderful kind of love God has given for mankind. But it's not the kind of love we're going to talk about today. Even though it's Valentine's Day, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and by extension to us, about the importance of walking in God's love. Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday. But it gives us as Christians an example and a time to talk about what love really is. We all enjoy romantic love. There's nothing, again, at all wrong with it. It's just that it's not the most important kind of love. We all delight in fellowship, another kind of love, and we all delight in brotherly love. But God's love for the Christian is the most important kind, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Paul says it's an indispensable need for every Christian to know God's love and to walk in that love. If we don't, our whole life is going to turn out to be a great big zero. And there are a lot of people, even Christians, that are going to have their life turn out to be a zero, not because they didn't know God's love. If you get saved, you have to know God's love. But you don't have to walk in that love. You get to choose. So today we want to begin by asking a question and you think about it in your own mind and your own heart. If I were to complete this sentence, how would you complete it with just one word? My aim in life is, what's the word that comes to your mind? My primary aim in my life is. For some people, it's going to be my primary desire in life is to be successful in business. I want to be really sharp in my job, whatever that job might be. For others, it might be, I want to be the most famous person around. You know, young people today get on the internet, and it's all about how many friends they have. They may not even know those people, but they're followers. And it makes them extremely popular and extremely influential, and that's what they're after. My number one goal in life may be the approval of other people. The number one goal in life could be wealth. I had a young man, this is years and years ago, when my daughter Amy was young. A young man came over and wanted to take my daughter out. And I said, well, what's your goal in life? What are you shooting for? He said, I want to be rich. He said, I want to be the next Bill Gates. And I thought, ooh, just a little sideways of what, you know, but that's what the world goes after, doesn't it? That's what they're being taught. How many people in schools today are being taught to be generous with their finances to help others? Something that's not going on at all. It's all about getting and having. So if you were to say your number one goal in life was to know the love of God and to share the love of God, you'd be right along the path that God wants you to be on. But very few people make that their primary goal. Your primary goal in life is going to affect every choice you make in life. A young person whose primary goal is to just have fun, a hedonistic lifestyle. If you get invited to go two places, a young person, which place are you going to go? You're going to go to the place you think you can have the most fun because that's your goal. If you're a little bit older person and you were to say my primary goal is to have pleasure in life, I just want to relax and take it easy. And you get two options in life. One is you can work in your local church. The other is you can go to Florida or Texas and you can spend all your time down there doing what? Lying on the beach. What are you going to choose? Now, nothing wrong with going to Florida or Texas. But when you're in Florida or Texas, there's still work for the Lord to do, and you can show that love. And many people do that. But most people go down there and just do what? Just take it easy. Because why? Because that's the primary goal in life. You can go down a whole list of things, but your primary goal in life determines what your choices are going to be. If your primary goal in life is to be secure in your old age, how are you going to make your choices? Whatever's going to give me the biggest amount of money by the time I'm 60 or 65 or 70 or whatever, that's where my whole life is going. Because what? Because I want security. I want to know that when I reach my old age, I won't have any financial problems at all. Everything's going to be taken care of. So every single person has a dominant value in life. And what Paul is saying here is for the Christian, your dominant value in life should be to know the love of God and to live it out in your life. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, Paul said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. What he's saying is, you should eagerly desire the way of God's love, both receiving it from Him and allowing it to go out from you to others. Every Christian is to make the love of God primary. Every Christian is to make showing that love primary in their lives. Paul says, without God's love, all I could ever say is ineffective. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, it said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what Jesus is saying is the greatest commandment of all, even under the law, was to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:1, the Apostle Paul is going to take this a step further, and he's going to give us some instruction. 1 Corinthians 13:1, the Apostle Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and do not have love, again, that's agape love, God's love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying, all that I am is just noise. You can have the greatest oratory skills of anybody around, but if you are not living in God's love and you're not sharing God's love, you can make some of the greatest speeches. The crowds will cheer and scream and holler. They'll be so excited at your rhetoric. But the Bible says it's going to come to nothing. Those of you that have watched Second World War movies on television, and you've seen Adolf Hitler up speaking, what were all the people doing that were down below him? They were excited, man. This guy's the greatest speaker I ever heard. And then you turn the channel and you see another Second World War movie, and Mussolini's up there, whoop, 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 in the Italian language. And what are the people doing? They're cheering. They're so excited. He's the greatest guy that ever lived. But what do their lives amount to? And that's what Paul's saying. You can be the greatest orator that ever lived. But if you don't know the love of God, and you don't express the love of God, is going to amount to nothing, sometimes worse than nothing. So if you know the love of God and you share the love of God, your life is going to make an eternal difference. And so Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, they were proud of the fact that they had all the gifts. The church at Corinth was noted for great preaching and great speakers. They had the gift of tongues, they had the gift of healings, they had the gift of almost every gift there was. But Paul said, you're focusing on what? You're focusing on the gifts. You're not focusing on the giver. You're not trying to become like Christ. One of you says, I follow Paul. One of you says, I follow Apollos. Folks, they're arguing and fighting over who's the greatest. Where should their attention be? It should be on the Lord. He's the greatest. All the rest of us are miserable imitations. If you put others before the Lord, you're heading for trouble. God said they were majoring on the minor. And so often in life, we do the same thing. We put things and people and popularity and finances ahead of our relationship with our Lord. And we're going to miss the mark. God said we need to be focused upon Him, His love, and sharing that love. It'll change all your priorities in your life if you do. The second thing Paul says, without God's love, all I know is incomplete. I know a lot of really smart people that don't know the Lord. And their life is going to amount to nothing in the end. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Folks, if you have the gift of prophecy, that means when you read the book of Revelation, you can explain every horn on Satan's head. That means you understand all that's coming. You know everything about it, but you don't know God's love. You can explain the Bible backwards and frontwards, but you don't know God's love. All that knowledge is for nothing. You can be the smartest person in your class. High school, college, you can have doctor degree after doctor's degree. But if you don't know the Lord and you don't know His love, and you aren't actively sharing His love, all those doctoral things that you can put on your wall, you know what they're going to amount to when your life is over? Absolutely nothing. Folks, we follow after the things of this world and we wonder, why don't we have the peace and the joy and the love of Christ in our hearts? It's because we're chasing the wrong things. We're chasing money, we're chasing fame, we're chasing popularity. And the Lord says, all those things are fine, but if that's what your primary goal is, they're going to amount to nothing. They're not going to help you in the end, and they're not going to help anybody else either. He's not saying we shouldn't learn the Bible. He's not saying you shouldn't preach the Bible. What he's saying is knowledge without love is nothing. Now, you can have both. You can love the Lord with all your heart, and you can study hard too. Nothing wrong with that. I encourage young people all the time, get all the education you can. But realize, without loving God in your heart, without doing it for God's honor, it's going to come to nothing. So we have to put God's first. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. But knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. Folks, just knowledge without love, just giving without love, we're going to see in a minute, that's nothing either. We need to have the love of God as the primary goal of our life and sharing that love with others as our primary goals of life. Otherwise, we miss the whole thing. Knowledge without the love of God just puffs a person up. They think, I've got it all. I know it all. There are a lot of people in that situation. They do know a lot. I'm not saying they don't. They're smart, man. They can do business like nobody can do business. They can make money head over heels. They may be the greatest sports athlete that ever lived. But without the love of God, in the end, God says it's going to amount to nothing. We get really excited. Today is Super Bowl Day, and I like Super Bowl. I don't know how much of it I'll watch, but I think it's good. But who won the 1971 Super Bowl? Anybody know? Who won the 1982 Super Bowl? We don't even know, do we? It's so important in our lives, and again, I'm probably going to watch some of it, but the idea is we get so wrapped up in it. And what God wants us to get wrapped up in is His love and sharing His love. Be careful where your primary focus is. Today, there may be somebody you could help, but instead of choosing to help them, because knowing what's going to happen in the Super Bowl is far more important, you're going to waste your day. Be careful. Watch your priorities. Check your heart. Again, nothing wrong with Super Bowl. I'm going to watch some of it. But we need to be careful. Knowledge. We know more today than any generation before us has ever known. We have more information at our fingertips than any other generation has ever had before. But by knowledge, is our world more godly than it has been? Have we got child abuse under control? Have we got battered wives under control? Is there peace in our world because we're so smart? We're in just about the same situation the Apostle Paul and his generation were in. All that knowledge without the love of God and without showing that love has done us no good. But those that have decided in their life they're going to show the love of God and they're going to learn the love of God, make a huge difference in every generation. It changes people's hearts. So we might look at some mighty miracle, and we might say, boy, this is really something. The Apostle Paul says, a mighty miracle without the love of God is nothing. in 1 Corinthians 13:2 again. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. All you believe, all you know, will come to nothing in the end. It might look mighty on the surface, but without the love of God, it's going to accomplish nothing in the end. A person can say, I believe in the Lord, but without receiving his love, without sharing his love, even that belief is going to come to nothing. There are many people that have made a profession of faith. They prayed a little prayer, but they didn't become part of God's family. Why? Because they didn't receive the love God was offering. You can say the words, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe with all my heart God died on that cross for my sin. I want you to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. But if all it is here, it's not going to do you any good. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, that's your total being. Your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. If it isn't all in, then you're not in. You're not born again. You won't see the kingdom of God. In Galatians 5:6, Paul said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing, and I want to stress that, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If love doesn't permeate your heart, if the love of God is not first in your life, all the other stuff is going to come to nothing. We have to be very careful here because, again, I want to read that one more time, Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And when you're expressing yourself in whatever area of life, if you're not expressing in the love of God, that situation is going to come to nothing. It may come to worse than nothing. When we're not sharing the love of God, and I don't know anybody here that does it all the time, there are times when all of us fall short. But the majority of the time in your life, is the love of God the most important thing? Not only knowing it, but sharing it. If it isn't, your life may come to nothing. There's nothing harsher than a man or woman who says they really believe the Word of God and then living a life without the love of God showing up in them. One of the ways you can examine your heart, is the love of God the primary goal? Is how do you treat other people? Are you loving when they fall short? Or are you judgmental? I deal with that all the time. I have to say, Lord, I'm not showing your love. I'm showing judgment here. Help me. Folks, we're all weak sometimes in this area, but we can get stronger. Paul says, without love, all I give is insignificant. I know churches, but they used to post on the hallway wall, who gave what that week? Folks, that's a real dangerous situation. That's a way where pride could really come in. Your giving ought to be private between you and God. Maybe your husband, wife knows, but nobody else ought to know. But it's very important to know that all I give, if I'm not giving it in the love of God for the glory of God, it's going to come to nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, Paul says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So many people, he's not talking about tithing here at 10% or whatever you set. He's talking about all. If I give everything I have to the poor, but I'm not doing it out of love, God's love, it's going to benefit nothing. People give for various reasons. Some people give because they love the Lord and they want to bless the Lord. Other people give because I'm going to tell everybody what I gave. The Lord says if you go around bragging about what you gave, you've lost your reward. But it's important to give. The Lord tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. We should be helping those that don't have, but don't do it for the attention of men and women. Do it because you love them with the love of the Lord. And when you do it for the proper reason, the Lord said if you just give a cup of cold water in his name, you'll never lose your reward. It's going to bless people now. It's going to bless you for all eternity. But be careful about what your motivation is. If you're helping somebody just to get attention or just to get control, some parents give to their children as they become teens and young adults, trying to control them. Folks, we shouldn't be controlling young adults. They ought to be controlling themselves. If they don't, we have to deal with it, but when they become a little bit older than young adults, guess what? Their life. They've got to make the choice. If you help your kids when they're a little bit older, do it for the love of God and the love of the child. Don't do it trying to control them to get them to do what you want them to do. And sadly, many people help their kids and other people for the benefit of gaining control. Folks, if that's your motivation, you're going to get no reward. It's not going to benefit. In fact, it's going to hurt. Proper motive is extremely important. The church at Corinth that Paul wrote this to had their priorities out of whack. They loved the attention of people. When they spoke in tongues so that everybody would admire them. They didn't do it biblically. When they prophesied, they did it for the attention of the people. They didn't do it for the love of God and the love of people. And they're going to lose all the reward. I've heard over and over again throughout ministry, men tell me, I gave my wife everything she wanted. I gave her cars. I gave her a beautiful house. I gave her beautiful clothes. And now she's divorcing me. What went wrong? Folks, what went wrong? He gave her all the things, thinking that he was going to control her through the things, but he never gave her love. Folks, when a person is loved, they stay. They love you back. It's so important to understand this. Without love, all you can give is going to come to nothing. And then the last thing, Paul says, without love, all I accomplish in life is going to amount to nothing. Stop and think. How many people have lived their whole life without the love of God and sharing that love with others never been their goal? They've done a lot of good things in their life, but it was never for God's glory. It was never for the benefit of others so they could get attention. When this life is over, God says it's going to amount to nothing. It's not going to help. Again, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Paul says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that we can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let me ask you, Does Christ's love compel you to do anything? I hope it compels you to do everything, but at least something. Christ's love, He paid the price for your sin. He's God, and He left the glory of heaven because He loved you. There's no way you could ever get right with Him, except through the blood of Him Himself. And He became a man and He died for you. Are you willing to live for Him? In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for me to get it all right before He came. He came because I couldn't get it all right. I still don't have it all right. But I'm glad that the Lord gave His life for me. And it compels me to try to do what I can to know His love and to share His love. If a man spends his whole life gaining everything the world has to offer and then gives it all away, all of that's going to profit him nothing, the Bible says, if he doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and doesn't walk in the love of God. What Paul is saying is, guess what? Relationships are more important than money. Relationships with the Lord, with your family. The love of God makes a huge difference in a family. It makes a huge difference with the children. It makes a huge difference in everything you do because you're trying to put God and His love first in your life. When we have that love, when we communicate that love, it makes a difference. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God is constantly pouring His love in, but you have to receive it and you have to let it out. We got to be careful here because God can be pouring the love in and you think it's all about you. It is about you. But it's about you being so filled with the love of God that it overflows for others. And when you do allow that, it's going to make a difference. Remember when Bill Clinton ran for office? His favorite thing that was in every office that he had when he was running for president was, "It's the economy, stupid." Now, he won the election because of that. But I want to tell you, many people live their whole lives like it's the economy. It's all about what I have and what I get. God says, no, it's not about the economy. Moses served God with all of his heart in the worst economy you could have. He was a slave. Folks, it doesn't matter very much about the economy. It's what's going on in your heart. I believe we can communicate with one another in God's love. What Paul is saying is your life minus the love of God flowing in you and through you is going to amount to nothing. It's the kind of love you can feel, a genuine heart love. Stories told years ago, this is back in the 1800s, a little boy in Chicago one day was walking down the road and it was a cold winter day. And he stopped into a gas station because back then, in those days, the gas stations had open gas fires, a little furnace right in the main lobby. And so the little boy went in, he was warming his hands and his feet, and the owner of the gas station said, "Well, son, how come you're out this cold morning?" And the little boy said, "Well, sir, it's Sunday, and I'm walking to church." And the man said, "Where are you going to church at?" He said, "I'm going to the Moody Church." And the man said, "Son, where do you live?" And the little boy said he lived a mile or two the other side going towards Moody Church, and he stopped there to get warm. And the man said, "Son, why would you go to the Moody Church? There's five churches between here and there. Why would you go in a cold day so far?" He said, "Sir, they love a little boy at the Moody Church." Folks, if our church was filled with the love of God, if our church was showing the love of God, we couldn't get enough people in here. We need to be more and more set. My primary goal in life is to know the love of God and to share the love of God. So what does the love of God look like that's different than a a romantic love or a brotherly love or a friendship love? Well, Paul gives us the benefit here. He's going to tell us what God's love is. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And this is a list of God's love in our hearts. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. Folks, what God wants you to do is to make your number one goal in life to make sure that you know the love of God and to make sure that you're sharing that love of God with everybody in your life. If you do that, your life is going to have meaning. Your life is going to have honor. And your life, one day, is going to result in great rewards for you. Father, we're grateful for the love of Christ. Father, fill us to overflowing with that love. Help us to share it with everyone we come in contact with. It's the greatest love ever shown. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And he went on to say, you're my friends if you do what I command you. And you've commanded us, Lord, to love others with your love. Father, fill us with that spirit of love. Move us to share it with others. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.